Good morning. I'll be happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
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 I will be teaching out of the book of Ruth. It's a very short book. It has only 4 chapters and 85 verses. Amen.
Amen.
The theme of the book is redemption. Amen. God is a redeemer. Amen.
Yes,
the date it was written between 1030 and 1010 BC. The setting is in Moab and Bethlehem. There are only 3 characters in the book: Naomi, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. God is not mentioned, but he is working this book. He's behind the scenes, but he's making everything happen that is going on in this book for Ruth, Naomi, and Esther. So his name is not mentioned, but he definitely is working things out for their good. There are only 2 books of the Bible named after a woman. The other book is Esther. Ruth means friend, friendly, or friendship. Ruth definitely lives up to her name. Amen. She becomes in this story a close friend, a loyal friend of her mother-in-law, Naomi. It is a beautiful love story between these two women, and as later on we'll see the Lord's story between her intended husband, Boaz. It is very rare that you can find a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law who love each other so willingly. It is also a love story between Ruth and her intended husband, Boaz. I want to stop there and say, when I said it's very rare for a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law to love each other so well, to depend on each other. And Ruth shows that you can love your mother-in-law. You can love her, respect her, and so it's not very difficult to have this loving friendship. When I thought about the love and the friendship between Ruth and Naomi, I thought about our pastor and Sister Amel, how Pastor Hackett considers Sister Amel her daughter, not her daughter-in-law, but her daughter. So it can be a relationship of love and friendship between, a daughter and a daughter-in-law. It doesn't always have to be confusion between the two. Amen? It is the only book in the Bible after an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a book of the Bible named after a non-Jewish person, a woman that is a Gentile. Is a story of God's grace in the midst of difficult circumstances. It is a story of God's providence. God takes natural events and enacts supernatural results. It is a book of conversion, a story of redemption, where a motive-biased woman, a Gentile woman, outside the covenant of God, who comes to believe in Yahweh, the God of the Jews. The book of Ruth takes place during the spiritual darkness, the dark days of the judges. Ruth is a story of a woman named Ruth who lives during the evil period in Israel's history, but does not succumb to its moral decay. Ruth's story is one of integrity, righteousness, and faithfulness. Her story covers about 11 to 12 years. Amen. In the first chapter, it tells the story of Ruth's faithfulness. In the second chapter, it tells the story of Ruth's service. The third chapter tells about Ruth's proposal to Boaz. Chapter 4 tells the story of Ruth's reward. The book of Ruth gives great encouragement as God provides an example of godly behavior in the midst of widespread ungodliness. During the time of the judges, Ruth's faithfulness to follow the God of Israel leads to great blessings, not only for her, but for Naomi, for Boaz, and ultimately for the world, as she takes her place in the family line of Jesus Christ. So that's an outline of the book of Ruth, what was going on during the time. And so now I'm going to go into, I want to read some, where am I at? I want to read chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. I'm kind of nervous, so bear with me. Amen. So Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech." I'm going to stop there because I want to talk about what was going on during the time, what was the setting during the time of the book, when the book of Ruth was, when the book of Ruth was taking place. Amen. There was a famine in the land. That's what the verse says. There was a famine in the land and the judges ruled. And I was interested in finding out why there was a famine in the land. What was going on in that time during when the judges ruled? Amen. And so I'm going to talk about the famine in the land and what was going, what the people, how the people were living during that time. What was going on with the people in Israel, and what was what? Why was there a famine in the land? Amen. So there was a famine in the land, and it had fallen into a, and Israel had fallen into a sin cycle. Amen. And I had to go back to the book of Judges to find out just what was happening. So that's what I did. I went to Judges and found out that, at the beginning of Judges, they no longer had a spiritual leader. Joshua had passed away. And so they had no king in the land. So the people did as they wanted to do. Joshua had been their appointed leader. He had died. The people had served God all during that time when Joshua was appointed and he was their spiritual leader. It's in the Bible in Judges, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." That's what the people were doing back then. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. which becomes a disaster when we start living outside the will of God and doing what we think is right. Maybe we are not living for God. We are not in God's, we don't think of God, and we don't live our lives as though God is even there. So people, that's what the people were doing back then. They were just living any way they thought fit. Amen. So the people began to fall into a sin cycle. Yes, the people began to fall into a sin cycle. They were no longer regarding God. They were no longer following the commandments of God. They were doing what they thought was right in their own minds. When we live like that and don't live under the guidance of God, it will always lead us to disaster. I want to talk about the sin cycle that they were in. Amen. So the people of Israel, like I said, were in the sin cycle. They did evil. They forsook God. They followed after their own way. They were sold into slavery. They were slaves. They were had to serve the people. There was a people that was around them, and so God allowed them to be sold into slavery, so they had to serve the people that oppressed them. They cried. Now, this is the sin cycle. They cried out to God. They turned to God. They finally repented, and God raised up a judge to deliver them. Amen? He delivered them. Through all that, after they repented and asked for God's forgiveness, God delivered them. Amen. Now, the cycle that they were in during that time, this cycle repeated itself over and over and over again. They would forget about God. They would worship idols. They would do whatever they wanted to do. They forsook God. God was not even in their thoughts. They just did whatever. And then this cycle went on for 350 years. God was very, very merciful, but he was angered with his people because of the sin cycle. The sin cycle goes on and on and on. It went on and on and on for the people. And like I said, it went on for 350 years. It started after the passing of Joshua, and it went on to the coronation of Saul, the first king. Amen. This is relevant. How Israel lived is relevant for us today because it shows what happens when people walk away from God. It shows how when people walk away from God, what can happen. When we live in rebellion, there's always consequences that we must face. There's a consequence for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So there's always a consequence when you don't follow the way of God, the way of God, the way God would have you to live. There's a consequence. We can't just live any way we want to live and do what we want to do. That can't happen because there will be a consequence. We have to pay for everything we do in this body. Whether good or bad, there will be a consequence. Amen? Just as the judges were deliverers in the book of Judges, we have a perfect judge, which is Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our deliverer today. Amen. I want to fast forward to what's going on today, the year 2020. Where are we? Where is the world in the cycle of sin? What's going on in the world today? The world has done evil. They have forsaken God. They've followed in their own way. Where is the world at today? What's going on? We have the coronavirus. There's pestilence in the land. Amen. God is drawing our attention. He's drawing our attention to draw us back to Him, to focus on Him, to focus on the things of Him. Are people crying out like they should be? Are they crying and asking for forgiveness? Are they looking for hope? That hope is in Jesus. What they need is what Jesus can provide. He is that. He is our answer. Amen. We just can't live any way we want to live and think that there is no reward for our wickedness. We can't live like that. And that's how the people in Israel were living. There was no God. They didn't turn to God. They were worshiping idols. They were doing human sacrifice. That's not how God would have wanted them to live. They were supposed to be the example to the people in the land. They weren't the example. They were doing as the people were doing, just living any way that they thought was possible, any way that they wanted to live, anything that they wanted to do. Amen? And we can't live like that. So where are we at today in the world? Like I said, we should be at the point, the world should be at the point where they need to turn to, they first need to cry out to God. Cry out and ask for forgiveness. Cry out and say, Lord, help me. I need you. I did wrong in your eyes. They need to turn to God. They need to repent. They need to repent. Then God will hear. He will forgive. When we get to the point where we've done all that we thought we were big enough to do, and we're tired of the life that we're living, we have to repent and reach out to God and say, God, forgive me. And God is faithful and just, and He will always forgive us. Always forgive us for our sins. Amen. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. Thank you, Jesus. God will always have a remnant of people that will follow Him no matter what, that will do what He has called us to do, that will live for Him. Amen. That won't turn our backs on Him. God will always have a people. Just as Naomi and Ruth, they never turned from God. They trusted in God. They served the Lord. So there will always be a people that will do that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to encourage the people today. to look to God in these times with all that's going on. Look to God and put your trust in Him. Put your trust and hope in Him. Amen. God is a good God. And He's a keeper. He's a redeemer. He's the lover of our soul. So we must look to God. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Jesus. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. We must turn our focus to God. And trust in Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. And life lessons from the book of Ruth. What you think to be a tragedy is God's opportunity to show Himself faithful. Your abundance is an opportunity to help the less fortunate. God honors faithfulness. Character is a noble quality that God honors. Adverse circumstances give you the opportunity to exhibit godly love. In addition to Ruth's faithfulness to the God of Israel and to Naomi, we also see Boaz's integrity and faithfulness in action. Boaz became a kinsman redeemer, or a close relative who in essence redeems the Gentile Ruth and gives her home. Their union produces a son whose grandson is David and whose ultimate ancestor is Jesus Christ. The book of Ruth gives us an important analogy of the work of Christ. Like Boaz, Jesus is related to us by His physical birth, able to pay the price of redemption. Willing to redeem and able to redeem. And like Ruth, we must choose to accept redemption and leave the transaction to Jesus, who makes the redemption a reality. Amen. So that's about all that I have at this time. But then, like I said, there's always going to be a remnant of people that will serve God. And that's us, Greater Light Church and Ministries. We are part of the remnant who will always serve God. And will say, for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. I know it's short. I hope you got something out of it. And I'm just going to close. I just wanted to give you an idea of what can happen when we turn away from God. Israel had strong leadership, spiritual leadership, with Moses and Joshua. They had strong leadership. And there was no reason for them to decline spiritually. As we have strong leadership in Pastor Hackett, we could know that we don't have to turn, because we've been taught how to live this life, what to do, how to live, how to talk, how to be a part of God's kingdom. So that's all I have for you. I'll have more the next time. I'll go into more detail when I have the opportunity to come back and talk to you more about the Book of Ruth. I just wanted to give you an outline at this time and let you know what was going on during the time of the judges when the Book of Ruth was written. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Hey, we're just waiting for Elder Harris to come back on.
All right. Can you unmute my video stream there, Elder, if you hear me? Can everybody hear me?
I can.
All right. Praise the Lord, saints. Just going to do a brief recap of what Sister Petty had to say about the Book of Ruth. Powerful lesson. Some of the notes that I took down is one, the book is very short, 4 chapters. She said that this is a book of redemption, that it took place between 1030 to 1010 BC, took place in the country of Moab, had 3 principal characters that were in the story, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. And she talked about how Ruth, her characteristics were that of a friend, or really a very friendly, outgoing type person. This is a love story of sorts. A love story between Ruth and her mother-in-law. Because of the tragedies that had taken place. And we have to remember that Ruth was the daughter-in-law, and that she was not a Israelite, but that she was a Gentile. And that when her husband died, and Naomi's husband died, and Naomi's other son, he passed away as well, she told both of her daughter-in-laws that maybe they need to just go on back home and stay, because there's nothing else that she could offer them. She didn't have any other sons that they could marry, and that she was just going to go on back to her homeland. But Ruth, being the kind of person that she was, being a friendly type person, a loving person, a true loving person, said that wherever you go, I will go. And she went with her mother-in-law. She also said that in this story that the name of God is not mentioned one time, but his characteristics are all throughout the book. She said the story covers probably an 11 to 12 year period of time. And what she went into today was that this story centralized upon a family of Israelites that were in the midst of a great famine that had overtaken the land. And this was during the time that the land was being ruled by judges that were being appointed by God. Because as she had said, that they didn't have a centralized leader. Joshua had passed away. And when the people would cry out for help, God would raise up a judge to help them during that period of time. And she also said that this cycle of judging lasted some 350 years until God appointed their first king. But getting back to what she talked upon a little bit, talking about the great famine, there was a great famine in the land. That's why this family picked up and moved to Moab, looking for better opportunity, looking for a way to just get through this desolate time period that they were living in.
Thank you, Jesus.
But even as we take a look at this particular story, we have to understand that there's a great famine in our time. But you would look around and you will say, well, Elder, I got plenty of food in my kitchen and refrigerator and maybe the pantry and all those kind of things. Well, that's not the kind of famine that I'm referring to. I'm talking about a spiritual famine. We're living in a day and age where people's spirits are starving from a spiritual famine, disconnect with God. She also mentioned about, you know, what was taking place during those years and times that God would raise up judges. Well, the people just weren't doing right. They were trying to do everything that everybody else was doing around them, but having no respect for God. They were worshiping idols. They were sacrificing human beings. They were doing everything under the sun contrary to what God had instructed them to do before they even came into the land. You just have to take a jump back and read Deuteronomy and he tells them the things that are going to happen even in this time period. And those were things that were going on. And when things got to such a severe state, then they would cry out to God and he would raise up a judge to help them out. Well, people are crying out today because of all that's going on. But we have to understand God is still on this throne. He doesn't need to raise up a judge in this day and age because Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, got up out of the tomb. Resurrection Sunday is what we're celebrating. He is our Redeemer, our Savior, our help in an ever-present and trying times. She also said, you know, this kind of shows the saints, the believer, what happens to people when they walk away from God. And when she said that, I went back and found a piece of scripture that ties right into what she said. Second Chronicles, and you think about everything that's happening today, and you're wondering if God's hand is in it. Well, let me tell you with an assurity that his hand is most definitely over all of it. Because Second Chronicles 7:13 says, and this is God that's speaking to us, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, God is telling them, he says, if I do all of these things to get your attention, to look back to me, for there is no other God, there's no, the idols can't do nothing for you. This world can't do anything for you. All provisions come out of the hand of God. But he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Sometimes something just has to click inside of you that when you're out in a foreign place, just like Naomi was, she says, this place can't do nothing for me. It's time for me to go home. I need to come home. God is calling his people today. It's time to come home. I can't do nothing for you out in that foreign, desolate, famine-ridden place. It's time to come home. She said that we have to ask for forgiveness. Repent of our sins. For the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no perfect person that's out there. The only perfect one is the one we're talking about this morning that got up out of the grave and walked out of the tomb. That's the only perfect one. We all need to humble ourselves, get down on our knees, pray and ask for forgiveness, that God will forgive us our sins and help us. She talked about how Boaz was a type of redeemer that God used to restore Ruth and Naomi. All that God has given each and every one of us, there is something that lies within us that we can be that redeemer, that help, that encouragement, that light to somebody to show them that God has not forgotten them. Because you have to understand that Naomi and Ruth, they were at their very last. Naomi, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but she felt so bad about the circumstances that she even changed her name because she didn't feel she had any hope left. But God is telling you today there is hope. There is an eternal hope in Christ Jesus. She went on to share that this is a story of how God used a Gentile woman, engrafted her into the holy family through her lineage, her grandson was King David. The one that the Bible declares that he has a heart unto God. And that because of him, God says, I will never remove the kingdom from your family. And if you trace the genealogy, go to the book of Matthew right at the very beginning, and you'll follow it all the way down. You'll see the name of Ruth and Boaz and David. Then ultimately, the name of Jesus. How it all ties together. We all have a story. We all have genealogy. But it is that spiritual connection,
yes,
that leads us to Jesus. That's what she was talking about here today. Many of us have been out in the world. We've faced famine of sorts, things we just couldn't make it go our way for whatever reason. We just could not get it to work. We felt like there was something that was just missing, and we didn't know what it was, and we kept trying and bumping our heads and falling and getting up. But eventually, one day, we got the message, just like Naomi. We said, I need to go home. I know I got it. I say, I need to go back to my first love, Jesus. That's the only way I can make it. You see, the world ain't going to help me. My neighbors, they're not going to help me. The job, they're not going to help me. They're just going to extract as much as they can get so that they can make money.
That's right.
But they're not there to help me. Mm-mm. Jesus is my only hope.
Yes.
That's what she was trying to share this morning, is that Jesus is our only hope. But I want to thank God for using her this morning, blessing her, giving us the word that there is hope in Christ Jesus. See, I don't put my trust in anybody else. I don't put my trust in finances. I don't put my trust in the government. I don't put my trust in my fellow man. I put my trust in God. Because I said, his word says, he will never leave me nor forsake me. But he will be with me to the very end. He will be with me. And I thank him for that. At this time, I'm going to open up the lines for commentary. And what we're going to do is we're going to try and have a little order about it. For those that are on the video feed, if you'll click on the participants, in the right-hand corner at the bottom, you can click raise hand, and that'll signify that you have something you'd like to share, and we'll see that. Those that are on the phone calls, at the appropriate time, Elder will unmute the phone lines, and then if you've got something to say, you can make mention. But we're going to open it up now for those that would like to say something about what they heard this morning, or just give their thoughts or comments in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is a mighty good God. Anybody have a thought that they would like to share or comment? I see we've got one raised hand.
Okay, Sister Tracy's on.
Tracy, all right.
Hi. God bless everyone. Thank you, Sister Petty, for that word. There was a piece that stood out to me, and it's escaping me now, but you said something around the fact about when you experience trauma or some tragedy, and then you went on to say that that's giving God an opportunity to do something fantastic for us. Do you remember that phrase? Because I'd like to write that down. That was really good.
No.
Or if anyone remembers.
I didn't get it, but Sister Petty, do you have it? And you could.
I'm looking for it in my notes.
All right.
And that was a great reminder, especially with everything going on right now and just the different things we go through in life, is that even the Bible says that all things work together for the good of those that love God and called according to his purpose. And so it's always a good reminder to know that no matter what we go through, he's with us.
That's right.
Thank you for that.
You know, and sometimes, you know, when you think about that, Sister Tracy, what comes to my mind right away is sometimes our lives are filled with so much chatter and things that are going on that, you know, sometimes God allows even traumatic situations to take place to quiet the noise, to get our attention, to call on him.
Man.
Just going so many different directions and listening to so many different things that we've essentially blocked out the voice of God. But when he allows those things to take place, it kind of drowns out everything else and draws your attention back to him.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks for that reminder. I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
And that's okay if you're not able
to. I'm still looking at my notes, but I'll get it back to you, Sister Tracy.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. We'll go with the next one, Elder.
Yes, the person with the Galaxy Note 8, you are unmuted.
Hello, are you still there? Did you? All right, looks like maybe they've... Is there anybody else that would like to make a comment about what we heard this morning? Maybe we could open up the phone lines, Elder, and ask and see.
All right, just one second. All right, just bear with me for a moment. Okay, we are on webinar mode, so we have to do it one at a time. So we're not be able to get the whole line open at once. People have to self-select if they want to comment.
All right. Anybody on the phone lines have a thought or a comment that they would like to make at this time?
Okay, I'm going to unmute all the phone callers one at a time.
All right.
Yeah.
This is Mother Rosie.
Good morning, Mother Rosie.
Good morning. Sister Betty, thank you for that word. The word is always interesting to me. I always get something out of it. It was a great word that came through you this morning, and I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you.
The Lord is on our side. So I was just sitting here thinking how I have to pray, continually pray through the night, because the enemy is really on me, because I got renewed to Christ Jesus. I believe that's why he's bugging me so.
Amen.
And I have to, and he is going, he is after me, and I have to really stay in my word and get the understanding of it and study it. And the Lord keeps telling me to seek his face. So I'm in my word and trying to do the best I can and trying to open up my heart and to stand strong in the Lord. It's something he wants me to do, is to seek his faith. And he put me in 1 Peter to read 1 Peter. So I'm reading that, and I was in Jeremiah about how the Fimons and all of this stuff he brought upon his people because they were so hard-headed. And I thank you for manifesting that to me, because it is a word that he was giving me. Now I realize that this is what he wanted me to see through this Fimon thing, that he is in charge no matter what we say or how we try to do it. He's in charge. So I just thank you for the word. You brought it out and explained to me where I can understand what the Lord is trying to say to me. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else have a thought that they would like to share this morning? The lines are open.
I would.
All right.
Hi, it's Sister Trish. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Thank you, Sister Patty, for that awesome word. It really, really helped me, touched me. It reminded me of my I've been, you know, was married twice, and had just blessed to have two beautiful women of God, strong women of God, mother-in-laws. They were awesome. I learned a lot. They taught me a lot as I was part of their season of their life when they were in my life. And it just reminded me of the story of Ruth. And we had such a bond and a love between each other. And I just thank God. I wasn't just blessed with one, I was blessed with two. And they were awesome. And so I just reminded me of that. So thank you for the word this morning. It was awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Powerful word. Thank you, Sister Patty. Anybody else this morning?
Thank you, Sister Patty, for allowing the Lord to use you. That was a blessing. God bless you. Continue to study and let God continue to use you. God bless you. It was powerful. Amen.
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 And I'll also say thank you, Sister Patty. I appreciate your analysis of the Book of Ruth. Thank you so much for allowing that to come into our hearing, and I look forward to your continued lessons on this topic. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Patty. This is Deaconess Harris. I thank you so much for that encouraging word. May God continue to use you. I love hearing you teach. And I thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. You know, another thought that just came to me, you know, when you're really, 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 really hungry, such as they were during the famine, because they found out that there was no food where they were at. So they had, Naomi said, we need to go back home. And I know plenty of people there where we can find something to eat. When you're really hungry, you will go through the cupboards, refrigerator, freezer, whatever it might be in your home to find substance. But see, we're talking about a spiritual hunger. What are you doing to satisfy that spiritual hunger that might be present? You know, that's what God wants us to satisfy and take care of, because that's what's going to sustain us, right? Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus. But I don't want to miss anybody. We're approaching the hour where we're going to close our Sunday school service, but I don't want to miss anybody. If you had something you wanted to say, the last. Again, powerful word, Sister Patty. Thank you for allowing God to use you. We've got one person, Sister Madeline Elder, if you'll unmute her. Go ahead, Sister Madeline.
I just wanted to say I praise God that I was able to get the tail end of it. I did hear that you were speaking from Ruth, and I did enjoy what I did hear, and it just keep reminding me of what I just need to continue to do, is to continue to look to God through everything that's going on and just through my life, period. And I just thank you, Sister Patty, for the lesson, and I praise God for everything that's going on with the service. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God is a mighty good God, is he not?
Amen.
Amen. Well, at this time, this concludes our Sunday school service, but we're going to have a word of prayer. And then I'll let Elder take it after my prayer, and he can give instructions of what we do from here. But Father God, we just come to you giving you praise, giving you thanks for blessing us all to tune in or call in this morning and be a part of the service. Thank you for the word that you gave through Sister Patty. Now we ask two blessings, Father God. We ask that you will continue to bless Sister Patty. Continue to give her great and deep understanding and insight into your word, that it would be salvation unto many, that it would be salvation unto her families, that it will do all that you have purposed it to do in her life. Now, I also ask, Lord, bless the word that went out this morning into the ear gates and eye gates of the people that were tuned in, that you would bless them, that you would nurture them, that you will give hope, that you will do all that you have purposed this word to do. But most of all, plant this word. Let it be planted and manifested in their lives, that it would bring much fruit, pleasing fruit unto you, I pray in Jesus' name. I ask, continue to bless the Greater Light Sunday School Department. Use this department to teach, to give understanding, to allow questions to be asked and answers to be given, that it would draw us ever closer to you. Now I ask, take us from this part of the service, looking with great expectations and anticipations of all that you will do in the service to come. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for blessing us this morning, keeping us this morning, ministering unto us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Petty.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. Thank you again, Sister Petty and the Elder Harris, for that wonderful Sunday school service. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We're going to move into our morning worship service at 10:30. What we're going to do over the next several minutes, we'll be playing some worship music, and you could just kind of move accordingly, worship, pray, meditate, and then at the bottom of the hour, we will start our Resurrection Sunday service. Amen. And Sister Felicia Turner will be leading our devotion starting at 10:30. We will start at 10:30 sharp. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And let's just continue to praise the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.